Adonam sujate hari. Hidayadahi dharmasya. Shayoviti supatmana. Tadatu bhagavanisha. Atmanam sujate hari. Yada, whenever, yada, whenever, he, indeed, dharmasya, of the principles of religion, kshayaha, deterioration, vridhihi, increasing, cha, and papmanaha, of sinful activities. Tada, at that time, to, indeed, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Isha, the Supreme Controller, Atmanam, personally, Sujate, descends, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Issi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Whenever the principles of religion deteriorate and the principles of irreligion increase, the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead Sri Hari, appears by His own will. Purport. The principles by which an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends upon earth are explained in this verse. The same principles are also explained in Bhagavad Gita 4:7 by the Lord Himself. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. End of quote. In the present age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inaugurate the Hare Krishna movement. At the present time, in Kali Yuga, people are extremely sinful and bad, manda. They have no idea of spiritual life and are misusing the benefits of the human form to live like cats and dogs. Under these circumstances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has inaugurated the Hare Krishna movement, which is not different from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one associates with this movement, he directly associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People should take advantage of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and thus gain relief from all the problems created in this age of Kali. End of purport. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Vashyata Adishitarine Vanchakopa Dhruvischa Kripa Sindhu Vaivacham Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastava Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a verse very similar to the verse in the Bhagavad Gita describing how the Lord why the Lord descends to the material world, to the earthly planet, to reestablish the principles of religion and to correct the irreligious activity. In this verse, the word for irreligion, they use, he said, papmana, so sinful activity. In the Bhagavad Gita verse, it's adharmasya. So, to reestablish the principles of dharma and to correct the irreligion, the Lord comes. So, and then Srila Prabhupada also explains in this Kali Yuga, the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He described that this age of Kali, everyone, majority of people are extremely sinful. They have no idea of spiritual life and are misusing the benefits of the human form to live like cats and dogs. So, Prabhupada often speaks about this in this way, saying that people are simply living, following the animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But under these most fallen circumstances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has inaugurated the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada says that the movement is non-different from Krishna. So, anyone who associates with this Hare Krishna movement is associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so, he says that people should take advantage of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra and thus gain relief from all the problems created in this age of Kali. So, I wanted to speak a little bit about these principles of dharma and adharma, and also the principle of associating with the Hare Krishna movement and how we can do that. I was inspired reading something from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav about this topic, so I wanted to connect with that first, and then I'll share some other things in relation to this verse. This is a quote from the first chapter, or second chapter, Response to Modern Trends. So this is how Bhaktisiddhanta, the position that Bhaktisiddhanta was in, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and how he responded to the circumstances of Kali Yuga, and how he propagated the Hare Krishna movement. So we can learn some things from him of how we can also serve and associate with the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Sri Bhaktisiddhanta is the foremost acharya and representative of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I thought I would share some of these things in relation to this verse and purport. So this is just a small clip. Srila Sarasvati Thakur wanted not only to transform inaptly named Hinduism, but to impart Vaishnava Dharma as the highest universal truth. But to do so, he first had to address the state of existing Vaishnava society. Perceiving the old orthodoxy as a hopelessly corrupt and fossilized parody of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's actual movement, impossible to rectify from within, he broke away by introducing new social and ecclesiastic systems within Gaudiya Vaishnava Dharma, and also a previously unformulated structure of Guru Parampara. He campaigned at least as much against misrepresentations of bhakti as against gross materialism, and like an expert physician treating the fundamental cause rather than the symptoms of disease, sought to correct the philosophical misconceptions underlying sinfulness and religious deviation rather than highlight their overt manifestations. So, saying, first the saying about the state of the Gaudiya tradition at the time was highly corrupt, it said, and fossilized. A lot of misconceptions were there within the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. This is what Srila Bhakti Saraswati Thakur was dealing with, and he said that he dealt with this not by highlighting the overt manifestations, but by seeking to correct the philosophical misconceptions underlying the sinfulness. So he is an extremely learned scholar, and he used philosophy and his intelligence to convince people to give up sinfulness rather than just pointing it out in and of itself. And he was able to impress so many people. So here's another part of it. The majority of traditional Vaishnavas were uneducated, unphilosophical, and nauseatingly sentimental, and thus inappropriate recipients of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's highly erudite delivery. Moreover, being swamped by Sahajya influence, they were very difficult to rectify. But intellectuals, persons of partition disposition, were naturally attracted to him, and he reciprocated by delivering Hari Katha to them in a highly erudite manner, in matas furnished according to their taste, and by treating them concordantly to the behavioral standard they had imbibed. Visitors to any Gaudiya Math who were dressed in the English attire of coat, shirt, and pants that bespoke their social stature would be offered a chair and fanned by a young brahmachari. Traditional practice in temples is to sit cross-legged on the floor, and common pious Hindus could not imagine sitting on the same level rather than at the feet of a sadhu, or being served by even an adolescent sadhu. Yet taking into account the different outlook and sense of dignity of respectable men, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati made this adjustment so that visitors could hear and be benefited rather than attempting to foist unnecessary strictures upon them. One last thing from this, and then I'll share some verses. So, to another gentleman who protested the forthrightness of the displays and of the preaching at a theistic exhibition, Srila Saraswati Thakur stated that their purpose was not to insult but to edify. That man retorted, "Do you want to convert me?" "Yes," responded Srila Saraswati Thakur. We require not more than 5 minutes to convert you. You need only give proper attention. That my message propounds your own deepest interest and inner necessity, then automatically you will convert. It is because of this that even though I began alone, now 500 men are speaking on my behalf. When you perceive that my message propounds your own deepest interest and inner necessity, then automatically you will convert. So we have to become expert in convincing people that this is what they actually need. And it takes really solid convincing and expert presentation of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the depth that we actually have to offer and the jewel of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. We have so much to offer, and we have to learn how to present it to the intelligent class of men. And also another quote of this book is that he was preaching almost only to the intelligent class of men, because at this time the Vaishnava tradition was thought of as low class. So if he only preached to low class men, he would always stay that way. But he approached the highest qualified members of society and preached to them the highest message of the Srimad Bhagavatam in an erudite and scholarly way. And in this way, if he can convince these types of people, then naturally other people will follow. So this is the mission, and the purport was saying, anyone associating with the Hare Krishna movement is directly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to rack our brains how to present Krishna consciousness to the society at large, how to present it in a way that the masses of people can understand it, how to appeal to the intelligent people at the universities, the people who are active in society, and convince them. And then people like that, they can, then it'll actually spread to everyone. So that's the advice of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, is to approach the highest class of people. We should learn, we have to learn how to present it in that way. And that way we also have to become extremely conversant with the philosophy and very sharp in our intelligence too. We have to be trained. Also very sharp with the social etiquette of the current ages, current time. That's what also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta exhibited by his example of, he facilitated the social etiquette of the time. Like I was reading, he gave them chairs to sit on and he had them fanned. He was facilitating them hearing Harikatha. So we shouldn't expect people to come into our temples and sit on the ground and feel comfortable in being able to hear our message. We have to go to them where they are at, where they feel comfortable, the way they're dressed, and present it so they can hear it properly. I mean, some scholars and some Americans may feel comfortable coming into our temples and sitting on the ground, but it's unlikely. It's unlikely. Our culture is too different from theirs. People get culture shocked by coming into our temples and eating on the ground, sitting on the ground. All these things, the high class people of America, it's degrading for them to do that. So we have to go to them and present it, and we have to present ourselves also in a way that they'll respect us too. We can't just go with expecting, we have ripped cloth, old cloth, 3 years old cloth, you know, wearing old clothes. Not like that. They won't respect us. I'm sharing this just because I'm trying to present Krishna consciousness at Northwestern University, and I'm understanding the social etiquette. If you're going to present yourself as a teacher at a university, even just one class extra, not a part of the university, but in the evening time, you have to present yourself in a very particular way for the students to actually hear from us. So we have to be very in tune with the modern times, how to tap into it, where they're at, where are the spiritual seekers at in this modern time. Srila Prabhupada went right into the movement of the hippies. So he also wanted to preach to the intelligent class of men, but the hippies are the ones who came to him, and they also weren't so uneducated either. Most of them had come from the topmost schools and top class of American society, but they left it, and so Prabhupada facilitated that. He went right to the heart of where the modern trend is at. So that's what we have to do if we want to also become purified and become Krishna conscious. We have to figure out exactly how we can serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the current time, 2018. How do we best spread this message? So those are some thoughts I've been meditating on from inspiring thoughts from preaching from Bhaktisiddhanta. I wanted to move on to the principle of dharma and adharma. Just share some things. Exactly what is irreligion? Or what is adharma? What is papa? What is sin? In the third chapter, verse 13, there's a pretty interesting perspective on sin that most people wouldn't think of. Just by not offering your food to the Lord and just enjoying the food without offering it first, it said you eat only sin. So the Sanskrit is bunjate te tvakam papa ye pachantya atma karanat. By enjoying food simply for your own personal sense enjoyment, you're only eating sin. Why is it sinful? We can look at the Ishopanishad mantra, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Because the food belongs to Isha, everything is a part of the energy of Krishna, our source. So yat kincha jagatyam jagat, everything animate and inanimate is controlled and owned by the Lord, our source of existence. So tena tyaktena bunjita, same word as the bunja te, is tena tyaktena bunjita. Tyaktena means set apart as the quota. Prabhupada translates this as just enough to keep body and soul together. Take only what you need. There's a song like that from MGMT. Take only what you need. So this is Magridha Kasya Svedinam, knowing well to whom it belongs. So in the next verse of Ishopanishad 2, it says one can go on living like this for hundreds of years happily, because he's not collecting karma. So what I take from this is the inherent essence of sin or adharma is trying to enjoy the property of the Lord, of Isha, without recognizing the Lord or separate from the Lord. We're trying to enjoy the existence of God without God. We're trying to live and enjoy separate from the source of our creation. So it's described in that later in the third chapter of the lust. We're lusting after the energy of the Lord without recognizing the Lord. And it's the perversion of love of God. So in the purport it says, purport of 337, this inquiry is the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, wherein it is said, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, one should inquire into the Supreme. And the Supreme is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam as Janmadyasya Yato Nyavyat Itarascha. The origin of everything is the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, the origin of lust is also in the Supreme. If therefore lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transferred into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything for Krishna, then both lust and wrath can be spiritualized. So, the particular phrase that I wanted to quote from this is desiring everything for Krishna. Lust is transformed into love for the Supreme, or transformed into Krishna consciousness, or in other words, desiring everything for Krishna. So, We have the opportunity to serve, as the purport was saying, serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, this is how we purify our desire. Everything we eat, breathe, sleep, think, everything we want should be in line with the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mission of spreading the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam to anyone and everyone. Everything we aren't trying to enjoy separately. We're trying to enjoy by aligning ourselves with the most magnanimous incarnation of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this desire, I'm trying to understand. I don't quite desire it, or I don't quite understand it. But it's said that the material world is situated on desire. So I saw in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's a description of the upside down banyan tree, the reflection of the spiritual reality, and it's situated on desire. So this is the difference, is what is our desire? And we have to purify our desire by aligning it with the mission. That's what the preaching is, the essence. This is the service that we have to do. Everything is for preaching. Everything, that's the service of in the material world, is once we receive it, we engage in the service of spreading it, and that we can further purify ourselves. So I see it kind of in terms of sports, like offense and defense. Some people maybe are stronger when they're in the temple or they're doing services that aren't so like offensive, like going out and making that impact on other people, but they can hold down the services at our fort. So this is like defense. How we have to maintain our institution and all the activities that are required. So this is, I see it as like defense, by creating strong communities and so many other aspects besides just preaching. It's also preaching, it's also service, it's also the mission, like teaching children or deity worship or cooking. These are all part of the mission. And then the offense is going out into the world and presenting Krishna consciousness to people who don't know about it. That also is extremely important, and if we don't have that, then the defense, you know, we never score. You know, we're not doing the service, the mission, spreading the mission. We're just like taking care of ourselves, which is okay. But both have to be there. We can't just focus on offense and then not maintain our community of devotees. Like, this was a mistake in the early days, at least in my limited perspective, is that we focused a lot on specifically going out on Sankirtan, which is great, 13 hours a day, things like that, crazy amounts of time going on Sankirtan, but so many problems came in our communities, especially in America. So we didn't focus on taking care of the children, taking care of the farms, taking care of the community of Vaishnavas. So many problems came because of mistreatment, as most people probably know. So both are there, and both are part of the mission, and both are associating, as Prabhupada said in the purport, associating with the Hare Krishna movement and associating with Krishna. So basically, yeah, it sums up the mission. Is in my I can sum it up in my mind, is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting and doing service, hearing, constantly getting purified by the sound vibration, the wealth of sound, spiritual sound vibration that we have in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the lectures by the wonderful teachers. So we have to have a strong, practice of hearing almost constantly and chanting, and then doing the service required to maintain our institution. And these things combine in my, for at least in my life, that's everything. When any service comes up, I gotta do the needful, and then when I have time, I have to read as much as possible, and then when I can't read anymore, I have to chant and prepare for preaching. And in this way, I feel very fortunate to be a part of this mission. So that in the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.17.24, the preaching of the Bhagavatam principles will automatically render all men austere, clean, both inside and out, merciful to the suffering, and truthful in daily behavior. That is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are very prominently exhibited at the present moment. So the four principles of Dharma, austerity, cleanliness, mercy, truthfulness, automatically will come by preaching the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, also the verse that we recite before, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. In loving service unto the Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So if we're going to preach Krishna consciousness to the intelligent people, we have to become extremely learned. And how do we do that? We constantly hearing Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, constant hearing and serving the Bhagavata, the person and the book. I was just, my experience the last couple of weeks, I was having, my mind was getting distracted, all different desires, and I started taking more shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I started reading sometimes a couple hours at a time, 2-3 hours at a time this past weekend, and I read 3-4 chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And everything, if you read Bhagavatam for a couple hours at a time, everything makes perfect sense. It's like my feeling is like you have to break through, you have to crack the seal of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes when you start reading, you get tired because it's very deep and philosophical. So you break through that first half an hour, and you keep going and you keep reading, and all these things go away. All the troublesome to the heart is completely destroyed, and loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is established as an irrevocable fact. Just continuous hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mystical, actually. It just destroys all the problems. Constant hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's in the Bhagavad Gita, it's described Patyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartam Avyayam Raja Vidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting, it is joyfully performed. Bhagavatam is so much relishable. Just hearing the stories, just reading the pastime of the churning of the milk ocean, and it's really a wonderful story of so many different incarnations of Vishnu, Krishna manifests himself in all these different ways, and then you see that the demigods and demons are also so dependent on Krishna in this pastime. They try to bring the mountain to the turning. First, in general, King Indra makes an offense to Durvasa Muni, and the demons make an attack. They lose their strength, so they have to. These powerful demigods have to humble themselves before Lord Brahma and go to Lord Vishnu, the milk ocean, and pray for them. So you see that then he gives the benediction that he will come. He tells them to make a truce with the demigods, or with the demons, and go to the milk ocean, and there they'll give him, Lord Vishnu will give him some, give them the nectar of basically immortality, nectar of immortality. So they try to bring the mountain, the demigods and demons try to bring the mountain to there, but it's too heavy to bring to the milk ocean. So then Lord Vishnu comes on Garuda and picks all of them up and brings the demigods and demons and the mountain to the milk ocean. And then when they're turning it, then they can't do it properly. It's too heavy for them. So then Lord Vishnu manifests himself, and he starts churning to help them. And then he manifests himself as Kurma underneath the mountain. And then he manifests himself on top to keep it stable. Then he ultimately he manifests himself as Mohini Murti to bewilder the demons who had taken the nectar from the demigods and who were about to enjoy it. So the Lord manifested himself in so many different ways, and the whole thing was orchestrated by him, and the demigods and demons were so dependent on the one supreme Godhead. So just hearing these stories, it destroys, like in the verse, destroys all problems in the heart, all troubles in the heart, and we want to engage in service of this one supreme Godhead that we're a part of. In the Bhagavatam, it just keeps going on. It's just 12 cantos of this. The conclusion is bhakti. The conclusion of all the dharma. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti yadokshache ahayataki apatiyata yayatma supersediti. Supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can obtain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So this goes along with what Bhaktisiddhanta was saying, that we have to prove to people that bhakti to adoksaja is what they really need. It's what they actually long for. It's the essence of their existence. It's the essence of their dharma. It's that which sustains them. We have to become convinced of this as well. It's that dharma, the supreme dharma, parodharma. Dharma means that which sustains our existence. Bhakti to Krishna. Unmotivated and uninterrupted completely satisfies the self. And who do we have bhakti for in this age of Kali? Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangascha Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our primary object of worship, subject, personality of Godhead, Yuga Avatar, who is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna himself, in disguise as a devotee, golden complexion. I feel so fortunate to be in this situation, to be able to serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of all the incarnations, all the stories are so, the whole Bhagavatam, all the manifestations of Godhead are so amazing. But the one that is closest to my heart, and it just feels, I just feel so fortunate to be in this position of being able to worship the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the incarnation Krishna. It's such a deep manifestation of Godhead. It's the highest intimacy of love of Godhead offered in all of time and space. So that's our position that we're in. It's very fortunate. Last verse. Kalim sabha jayantarya guna gya sarabhagina yatra sankirtaneva sarvasvarto bilabhyate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of sankirtan. Not even beyond the perfection of this life in the material world, but the highest state of love, the most intimate relationship with God is achieved by performing sankirtan in mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So Rupa Goswami says that we have to do this. We have to worship Lord Chaitanya. We have to engage in the activities of devotional service with enthusiasm, confidence, and patience. So not that we speak about this and then we go, all right, right now, let's go to the universities, go to the street and preach. This is all we have to do. With wild, you know, head, and we just, you know, start screaming, Hare Krishna, to everybody. You know, enthusiasm is described as, endeavor executed with intelligence, with a cool head, with patience and with confidence to carry out the mission in the mode of goodness. So not like we have to become madmen until we attain love of Godhead, then we can be madmen. But for now we have to carry out the mission with a cool head, with intelligence and patience. So it's not imaginative ecstasy. It's practical activity in service of the mission of the Lord. So these are some thoughts which I had to share. That's pretty much what I have to offer. If there's any thoughts anyone would like to add, and correct, and chastise.
Thank you, Prabhuji. you mentioned in the beginning of the class, quoting Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati about the necessity to understand the etiquette and the the culture in which you actually, to those, the culture of those who you want to present Krishna consciousness. And how to be very in tune to the time. We know Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, with the adjustments that he made, he was very much criticized by other groups, Brahmanas and some other Vaishnava groups, other followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, of course, we understand that he is an Acharya, so the pure devotees have the capacity to make those adjustments. Srila Prabhupada did other types of adjustments, you know, when he presented Krishna consciousness in America. One of them was 16 rounds instead of 64. So, and like that, there's the adjustments that are happening. Of course, Srila Prabhupada is an Acharya, is an empowered Acharya. He can do those adjustments. Now at these times, it's not the same etiquettes and cultures that during the time of Srila Prabhupada, things have changed. There's other trends, cultural trends that have come forward that are very important and very relevant for people, you know, to this day. So naturally, there are some adjustments that have to be made, and it comes then the clash or the conflict between being more orthodox, more pure, you know, maintaining what Prabhupada gave us, the formula that Prabhupada gave us. Why changing it? It should be it should function. So then there comes this clash. Like recently, I came across, while doing some reading, some research, some criticism that is placed into some of the devotees who are facilitating the Krishna consciousness of the third generation, because they're being a little more accommodating, you know, in terms of, especially in terms of the co-ed type of thing, the mixing of man and woman, and the presentation that are taking place, you know, on that. So highly criticized by some more conservative parts of our society. So there's going to be always this conflict between conservatives and the liberals, you know. And in terms of making those adjustments, so if any thought on those, that type of balance that have to be hit, you know, and how one can approach, how to maintain, you know, to be very careful in what Prabhupada gave us and the formulas that Prabhupada gave us, and also apply to, you know, times that are changing, and they're going to continue changing.
I can try to say some thoughts. Don't feel myself really completely understood. I don't quite know exactly how to best do this. My feeling is that if we try to become too liberal before we're purified, what I've observed is that it doesn't work. You try to make compromises and make decisions on how to spread Krishna consciousness. Say, like, these people don't know, so we're going to go out and do it our own way. It doesn't really work like that. My feeling is that purity, the principle purity, is the force kind of driving me. It's that if we're not on the level of Guru or Acharya, then we can't really make too much of an impact. So kind of the theme of hearing first. We carry out the service to our best ability of what's given to us from those who are in the position of Guru at the current times, but we have to qualify ourselves to be able to preach. Like, that's my experience. Like, how do we preach to these universities? How do I preach to the people in America? I've been practicing for 3 years. I barely even know which way is up and down and left and right. I have to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam for years to be able to present it in a way that an intelligent person would be able to understand, who doesn't know anything about the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, like, our spiritual masters, they can convince anyone if anyone comes in contact with them. So, yeah, this makes sense. But me, I can't do it. So, how do I be, we have to become gurus by hearing. First and foremost, stick strictly to the instructions. And then when we become purified, then we may be able to, as you're saying, like, make adjustments if we become very purified through the process of hearing and chanting. And until that time, we should try our best to follow what has been given. That's my thoughts. I think that's a safe answer.
Thank you so much, Bruce, for the nice class. One thing that in this text, Lord says, a predominant rise of religion. At that time, I descend myself. So, even there are so many avatar is there. Even Kali, Durga, you know, Lord Shiva, everyone is there. So, they can kill the, you know, the demonic people, and then they can establish, like, Parshuram killed Kartavirya Arjuna, and that time he was establishing. So why, what was the necessity that Krishna has to come? Why Krishna himself?
Your question is, that's a question to me. Why did Krishna come himself? So that anyone can kill, he doesn't have to come to kill the demons. This word killing demons is a dangerous word in the social sphere. We have this language that we speak of amongst devotees, killing demons. And it's like mythological words, like most people would think. But to correct the irreligion, he doesn't have to come himself. That's what you're saying. So why does he come? Krishna personally comes to attract us back to the land of Goloka Vrindavan. He draws back the curtain and shows us, and we get to hear about his activities of pure bliss and love to attract the pious, to deliver the favorable people. He comes to do that. That's what I've heard. I don't have a verse, but I've heard that before, that he doesn't have to come just by his material energy, or they kill themselves basically, but just by their sinful activity and by the laws of material nature, they end up, you know, being like taken care of. But to attract us back to the spiritual world, Krishna comes. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, very nice point Prabhu said. But think Prabhupada was explaining, in his class, what you said, that Krishna has nothing to do. Nakayam karanam cha vidyate. There is a nice in Upanishad. So, he has nothing to do anything, but just to protect Paritranam Sadhana, just to protect his devotees. That's the main reason. And to cultivate, you know, bhakti, like Lord Chaitanya, you know. So he came just to give bhakti, bhakti yoga. So similar, that's the main reason, to protect his devotees, he descends. And another point is that I was thinking that Prabhupada said regarding the preaching. Preaching is like Krishna consciousness is just like a diamond, you know. Mm-hmm. You cannot expect that everybody can purchase the diamond in the market. Mm-hmm. So only the intelligent class, those who are, you know, so they can only accept. And that's what Prabhupada said. We cannot expect everybody that can take Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. And also another important point regarding preaching is that Prabhupada has told, so when you are preaching, people in general, outside, so you have to keep in mind that don't give philosophy, all of a sudden everything, Krishna philosophy, Krishna consciousness, everything, you know. You know, first give them prasadam, small books or something. Then, because of prasadam, Srila Prabhupada changed whole world, you know. In the beginning, a lot of people, they came, just take prasadam, they run away. They broke drums of Prabhupada and everything, you know. But still he was patient and he was feeding to Krishna prasadam, prasadam. That only attracted because Krishna is non-dependent from his prasadam. So I remember one time what happened here in our temple. One Yamaraj, one devotee, you must have known. One guy came from the other side of the church or something. Then he started giving philosophy so much, Krishna consciousness, started speaking like, you know, 10-15 minutes. Then he got irritated and he took one stone. He threw our front door and broke the glass. And he went away. Then they called police anyway. So like that is a big problem. Anybody comes to temple, give them prasadam, greet them nicely. Slowly, slowly you have to inject Krishna prasadam.
That's the same principle of also the proper etiquette, treating people properly according to their position on the material level and making sure we present it. Also, we can give people philosophy too, but it has to be presented in the right way, in the right mood. And then, yeah, most people aren't ready to hear so much, so giving them prasadam is really powerful, especially really nice tasting prasadam. And over here.
In the section right in the beginning where you were reading from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and his tackling the fossilized Vaishnavism of that time, it caught my attention that the word that was used was to allow persons to perceive that was essential to their being. And and I was connecting it to what you were relaying because of the service you're performing of becoming aware that cultural mores are a barrier in some way. so that led to the other question that was asked by Sabal. I wanted to just perhaps ask if one is allowing for that kind of perception. It indicates that there's space that's given for persons to make adjustment. So, I guess the question would be, have you had insights into I guess some adherence that persons have on a philosophical level based on the fact that they're getting training in a university that is another kind of blockage to being able to receive Krishna conscious philosophy? So that's my question to you.
Your question is that have experience of other blockages, like specifically cultural barriers, that, and also the room for adjustment or changes. Is there room for us to make adjustments? I feel personally, not out of humility, just out of reality, like totally unqualified to be like spreading Krishna consciousness and be representing what we have, what we actually have to offer to people. I feel really unprepared to actually give people what we have. So that's kind of my answer also to Subhal Prabhu, is that from trying to preach in a systematic way, I've realized how much I have to learn and how much I need to grow and transform myself and my consciousness and purify myself, and not just philosophical understanding but character based, all these things. If we can develop the characteristics of the Vaishnava, then the details aren't so important. The principles that laid down, like that's part of the hearing process, studying so much of what Prabhupada did and what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did, all the principles that they laid forward by their example. And before we make adjustments, we should really line ourselves up with the them in the most strict and purest way, become recipients of their descending mercy and following their example, becoming real Vaishnavas. And then if we have these qualities and the purity, and how it manifests will be proper if we're purely in line with them. So. Prabhupada was also pretty liberal with men and women's association, relatively speaking. So we have to really study. He also was very strict in his books about men and women association. But he was very encouraging of people getting married, and so there's different moods that manifest on a specific details of Prabhupada's instructions. We have to keep hearing his books and really hearing more and more of his example and become very broad-minded and transparent representatives of him and all that he has to offer. My thoughts. Okay, thank you so much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Tagore Premanandi.